Now, our business agony uncle joins us, Bobby Kerr, of course, of Down to Business and Bobby's Late Breakfast here at the weekend on Sunday and Saturday mornings with all your work-related and business queries. Let's talk about distraction before we come to the specific queries. Distraction in the workplace. Are these chattering Cathys?
Nothing new here, Ivan. I was just looking at this survey, Udemy, recently released 2018 edition of their workplace distraction report. Now, there's some stuff in here that shouldn't really surprise you. 7 out of 10 employees report being affected by distracted. No big deal. 16% of people saying they're always distracted. A couple of interesting ones, 25%, 23% of people saying they feel more distracted at work now than in previous years. Like, I work in two different offices. I work in an open plan office and I work in a closed door office, another office that I have. And I think it's remarkable. You can be distracted in either. I think the biggest distraction, and it's said, is chatty Cathys, as you call them, co-workers. And we know, we all know it. You're in the middle of doing something, somebody comes along, Ivan, were you at the races on Sunday? Or what did you think of this? That's what happens. That's life. So I don't think there's anything really new here. They say technology can also distract us. I'll tell you what the big distraction is. 70% of all workers, it's not just millennials, admit to checking personal devices. That's a huge source of distraction. How many times have you looked at your phone, even when you're on air?
Well, I haven't had a chance to look at it since last night, to be honest with you. Yeah,
but you know, I, as I say, I think it's just life. We have to get on with it.
Yeah,
there's nothing new here, Ivan.
But is there something about people who are less busy on an open floor, who just want to be sociable and just want to talk to you about the match and want to talk to you about that? And actually, there are other people who are intensely busy. They're against the clock. There's deadlines for everything. And it's not that you want to be rude, but that you're effing busy.
Yeah, I think you get used to, and I've certainly seen it here. With
and
the
it
open
appears
plan
you're
office.
Obnoxious. And no, you might be obnoxious.
I think people have a good sense of when somebody is busy and when they're not. You know, like somebody with a bit of cop on, that you can kind of sense if somebody's working to the clock or they're about to go on air or whatever. Look, I'll chat about the match maybe in an hour or two. I won't bother them just now.
All right, let's
Can
get,
I just say before yes. we go on, I was in Wexford during the week.
Yes, Friday was.
They were
yeah.
asking for you.
Yeah.
And a couple of people said to me, thank you for keeping that guy honest, Bobby. he really is. He really is a complete waffler. And I'm really glad that you're out there on every Tuesday talking sense.
When
to
I'm
him.
Getting the same level of fees for as you are for gigs, I listen to you on all that guff. Right, Kieran has sent in an email. Bobby, I'm working for a company less than a year and I'm due to get a contract renewal. The role is due to be extended for another 6 months. I like the current role, but we are chronically understaffed and I find it hard to get time to do the additional projects tasks needed. I've interviewed for another role in a different company. This is a full-time position and I've been offered the job. My concern is that should I stay in the current role or move? I am due to leave for Canada at the end of the year, so feel that leaving a full-time position with a new job after 6 months would reflect badly with the new employer. Stay or go, Bobby?
I think he should stay, believe it or not, because I think that the key thing here is he's decided he's going to Canada. So
he's going anyway.
He's going anyway. So rather than take the risk of doing a new job for 6 months and being 6 months in two places, I'd suggest he and that's assuming that he's probably still learning something and he's reasonably happy there. He's better off wearing it out.
And I'm told on CVs you need a 2-year traction to have an impressive sales record.
I think it depends on what age you are and what stage your career
for your first
at.
Job maybe.
I think certainly employers don't like to see a fellow who's been in 3 jobs in 12 months. So my advice to Kieran would be stay where you are and go to Canada, get your experience and come back having learned something.
Emma in Waterford sends this email. Hi Bobby, I have a great new idea for a product and I've researched the possibility of patenting it. It seems very expensive. I got one quote for a patent from a patent specialist for $5,000. Would Bobby know anywhere where you could get a prototype of my product made to market to test it before I go to the expensive?
I was delighted to get this email from Emma, and there are a number of places. Believe it or not, most of the ITs that have the product design courses, DIT, Maynooth, IT Carlo, Dundalk, Letterkenny, and also NCAD and IADT out in Dunleary, they all have product design courses, and you can get the students for small money to do. If you've got an idea, say you've got invented a hairdryer, you invented, they will actually work up the design for you. And because I really,
but what about the legal process of patenting it?
Well, that's separate to the actual product development piece. But I would suggest that before she goes to the legal cost of patenting it, that she gets the product marked up or mocked up. I really do. Does a text in?
There's a text in. Chatty Cathy's. How sexist of you in News Talk. Guilty as charged. What about Incessant Ivans? Here we go.
So, Ivan, just to finish on this, because new product development, patents, we've talked about them here before. Mm. A lot of money can be wasted. And I just think that if Emma could get her product mocked up, get a prototype done, and then apply for the patent process, because she'd be a lot wiser at that point.
James in Donegal. I am a small businessman with 5 employees in the food manufacturing sector. One of my big customers, representing 40% of my sales, has just pushed out payment terms from 60 to 30 days, 2 months. It's causing me a real cash flow problem. I'm worried it could cause me a breach of my overdraft facility with the bank, or if I make too much of a fuss with the customer, I could lose the business. This is an age-old issue. It comes up again. Vanity versus sanity, what do you say?
Well, I think there's a process here that James has to go through. The first person he's got to talk to is the bank. Then he's got to go and talk to the customer. And if the bank calls in his overdraft, he's putting his business at risk here. So I really, really urge some caution. I also think that he could look at something once he's spoken to the bank and to the customer. There's possibility that he could consider something like invoice discounting. And invoice discounting is basically, it's a funding solution that enables you to access a proportion of the value of your outstanding invoice. Companies like Bibby, it's a third party that comes into to finance your debt book.
It's niche financing.
It is, but it's expensive. But, you know, in scenarios like this, it can be useful.
Another option would be to ring up the guy and say, look, this is really going to cream me. Can you make it 40 days or try and negotiate?
Well, that's why I say he's got to go and talk to the guy.
All right. Yeah. Now, Bobby, I'm in the warehousing and distribution business and have had an indirect approach about merging with a competitor whose business I've always admired, even though I considered him the enemy. Slightly concerned about showing too much of my hand if it leads to nothing. What do you think, asked Jerry in the Midlands? So, I mean, there is a tactical consideration. Yeah. You've got to play hard to get.
Yeah, and this is an age-old problem like many others. But again, it's a game of poker here. The first thing he should do is he should get a non-disclosure agreement signed just on the basis that, you know, formally, this is a confidential conversation that we're having. So you should do that at a minimum. Then I think he should go and meet the guy. And I wouldn't be given any information over about my business until I saw how things were going. So he shouldn't be under any pressure to release sales figures, you know, accounts.
Which would be sensitive commercial information.
Absolutely. So you've got to wade your way through this. And I also think then you've got to have a conversation with this potential merging business that, you know, who's going to do what post-merger? How's it going to affect each of us in our business? What am I going to be doing if we come together? How much am I going to be paid? Those are conversations that, you know, you can kind of have sort of theoretical things before you bottom out into the figures. So you're right.
You've got to be cautious about it.
It's cautious, yeah. But, you know, at the same time, you know, sometimes a merger like this could be a massive opportunity. So, you know, I wouldn't be against...
Well, it depends whether you're being acquired or do the acquiring. Well, all right. Well, you've trousered lots of cash out of buying and selling businesses.
Sometimes.
I know that. Like, Bobby is the right man to ask about this because he buys a business for nothing and sells it back to the same person for a fortune. Jen, and now, next one. I run a busy office where there are lots of people coming and going, but I have a slight problem with how one of my staff dresses at work. Her tops are very low cut and her skirts are incredibly short. She is a great worker doing a good job, but I feel as her supervisor, should I say something to her? Now, before you text 53106, this is not sexist because this query comes from Jenny in Dublin.
Okay, Jenny. And again, you know, we deal with all sorts of queries on this slot and no problem. So the best way of dealing with this, and again, I don't know Jenny, I don't know the girl, I don't know, we haven't seen any pictures of what she's wearing, but so let's just do the best we have with the information we have. First thing is that Jenny's company should have a policy on dress wear. So that should apply to everybody, including this individual, including Jenny herself. So first of all, she shouldn't single out this person. So there should be a dress policy for the business, and either this girl complies with it or she doesn't. I also think, reading between the lines here, that Jenny is more concerned, like she said, that she's a great worker doing a great job. And to me, Jenny is only saying this, it appears to me that she's more concerned about upsetting her because she's doing a good job rather than what she's wearing. I just think she could have a word with her. I'm not sure I would. You know, she'd want to be careful she doesn't upset her. And I think the way of doing it is to make a general thing about it, about this is our new policy on how we look, and then see where this girl fits in or otherwise.
Well, I think we need to up the dress code here in Newstalk. I mean, those off the ball fellas come in their t-shirts, and you've come in some old sailing outfit
I'm wearing a formal green shirt. It's actually really hot in here.
No, I know that. Oh, yeah, wow. I know that. Okay. So you will promise to observe a proper dress code. I want to see a tie on you. I want to see a jacket. I want to see... Don't be coming in your old overalls
where's
from your sailing.
Where's the complaints department around here?
All right. That we're going to have to leave it there. Bobby's queries do send in. You can text them to our regular slot line, 53106, or you can email us on the general line, agonyuncle, all one word, at newstalk.com.